Hey, greetings, everybody. We hope you're doing well. It is Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amon here, too.
What are we here for, Sister Amon?
We're here for our nightly edification audio.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's edifying.
Absolutely. That's our plan, anyway.
Yeah.
Today, we had a really full day. Really, our day just consisted of one thing with a lot of things. We went to a park, and we worked on our van all day long. I asked Sister Amon first. What'd you do, Sister Amon?
Oh, well, you can go first.
Nope. I'm letting you go first.
Okay.
What did you do in the van?
A whole bunch of stuff. Wash some clothes, walk back and forth across the field getting water, and cook some eggs, and pre-cooked some potatoes. Nice to be able to cook things ahead of time when we're in one spot.
Yeah, that's nice.
Cut up a pineapple, made some
meals. You made me pizza. Little pizza breads.
Oh, yeah. That was good. Take a piece of bread and put some pizza sauce on it, put some cheese on it, and slap it.
That really good healthy bread you buy me.
In the sandwich maker.
And oh, yeah.
It's super easy to do while you whip up a salad or something. So, yeah. So, anyway, there was a whole lot of things I got done.
You did some organizing in the van.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Sister and I took a walk. That was a nice treat because we're usually so busy for that.
Around the lake. There was a lake where we were.
Uh-huh.
Did you see any birds or anything around there?
We did. Yeah. I got a video.
No gators, though?
No.
That's good. I did the oil change on the van, and let's see, I set up our second generator so it's ready to run if our first one ever dies out on us. And I did a couple other small projects, got those done. And then I started dabbling on the really hard project, and I wasn't able to finish it. I got to put some new shocks on the van, and the bolts are so rusty and stripped, I'm going to have them cut off with a torch. So it's going to have to go into the shop. So hopefully tomorrow, I think we're going to take it in the shop and have them put my new shocks on that I bought, because I don't have a torch and I can't cut them off.
I'm looking forward to seeing if the ride is different after
that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we do better.
Yeah, hey, you mentioned about having the backup generator.
Yeah.
Do you remember that time? I forget where we were. It was really cold out. We're not normally in the cold weather. This was, a year or two ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And we're all wrapped up. It was when we had the other van. And we had a little heater going, and it was pretty chilly out. And all of a sudden, the generator was going, po 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 po. It was like late at night.
Oh,
we're like,
no.
Oh.
I can't remember what I did.
You know what we did?
What did we do?
We drove across the parking lot because there was a gas station there. It ran out of gas.
Oh, the generator.
Yeah.
I rarely ever run it that low. And that time I did, and I forgot to fill it up. I usually fill it up every day, and it's always way above at least 3/4.
So. Yeah, so we were like super blessed to be able to do that. So I now was just thinking about that.
I got a backup ready to go anytime our other generator dies out. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
Job.
I got that done. Uh-huh. It was a beautiful day, and as we were leaving, the sunset was incredible.
Oh, we got an amazing... I did a video as we were driving.
Yep.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, we got a really good video that'll go up at the top, so that'll be really beautiful, seeing the sunset, the Father's creation. Today, Brother Kuo posted and sent in a teaching on confusion. That was a really good one. That's linked at the Ecclesia page. And I'm hoping to get a Revelation verse-by-verse study done. Let's see, I'm on verses 5 through 8. So I might get that done tonight. Maybe, maybe not. I'm hoping to. And what's on your mind today, Sister Amon?
I just have a couple things here. Sister and I were talking about our testimonies.
Testimonies.
Yeah, I never tire hearing testimonies of how people are in the dark and they come to the light. I was reading, it just made me think of Revelation 12:11, one of my favorite verses.
I was just going to say that one.
Yeah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And I looked up testimony, and it means evidence given, a record or
a
report, and a witness.
Yeah.
And so I guess I was just thinking, testimony to me, I think of this here. Well, this is just one passage that I think of. Luke 1:77-79. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Yeah.
I just think about how much darkness and utter despair I was in, and I'm just so thankful for a testimony of what the Lord has done with the gospel to change my life.
Yeah, I always hammer on people to have a good testimony, know it, speak it, share it, because that verse tells us we overcome by Christ's shed blood, the gospel, and the word of our testimony, how that's changed our life. And then because of that, we love not our life unto death. So that testimony is really important. It's kind of like what Christ did and then also what he's done in us and our will working with him. So that testimony is really important.
Right. And I'm living proof that preaching the gospel can change somebody's life right then.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, yeah,
we
God.
See it. We see it with other people that we know. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I was thinking today about wisdom. I don't know. I was working on a van, and I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I was. Wisdom. Basically, in a layman's terms, it's the application of experience and knowledge put together, and that leads to wisdom, oftentimes also to discernment. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. So that's the kind of wisdom we're supposed to have with all those qualities. That word wisdom, that's interesting. Sophia. Wisdom. Broad, full of intelligence, use of knowledge in very diverse matters. So it's like broad breadth. Wisdom, which belongs to men, the varied knowledge of human things and the divine, acquired by acuteness and experience. There's the experience. And summed up in maxims and proverbs. So, yeah, wisdom, pretty much in layman's terms. You take knowledge, you add experience to it, it gives you wisdom. You can't have wisdom if you don't have knowledge and experience. And so the two, they have to, all three of those have to go together. The experience and knowledge have to come together, and then you get wisdom from them. Any thoughts on that, Sister Raman?
Yeah, I want as much knowledge and wisdom as I can get in the Lord.
Yeah, and that's one good thing about when you do ministry. Every year, if you keep going, you get a lot of experience, you get a lot of different knowledge, and then that should lead to wisdom on how to carry yourself, how to help people, how to handle people, how to live your life. So that's the type of wisdom that we want. And we know it's all rooted in the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9 says is fear of the Lord.
Right.
So that's like the baseline. Mm-hmm. But then from there, you just go up from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a wonderful gift.
What would you say is, would you say that people lack wisdom that we meet that claim to be Christians?
Is that like a serious question?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what, and how do they lack wisdom? Putting you on the spot.
I would say, speaking biblically, of course, they're lacking wisdom because the spiritual things cannot be discerned by the mortal man.
Yeah.
You have to have the Holy Spirit, which means you need to be born again.
Yeah, and it says, that verse I read from James, it says wisdom. What does it say? It says, but the wisdom that is from above.
Yeah.
So we're talking about not wisdom of like business sense and worldly experience, which that can give you wisdom. We're talking about wisdom that comes from the Father.
Right.
So, and I also think it has to do with discerning all things spiritual too.
Yeah, amen.
So you got to apply the knowledge, the experience, you get wisdom, and it gives you discernment in how to do and handle things.
Yeah, so the people who are lacking wisdom, obviously, they're not going to be born from above. And if somebody is and they're lacking wisdom, maybe they're brand new.
Right.
Maybe they haven't been looking.
Maybe they're not experienced enough.
Yeah, to compile it upon each other.
That's why the Bible warns about a novice, because a novice doesn't have a lot of experience and he doesn't have a lot of knowledge yet. So there's no way he can have wisdom.
Cool. Well, if we look back on our early years, you know, we were trying and working hard at it. But, yeah, you have to build that up.
Yeah, and over time you get it.
Uh-huh.
It's not. That's one thing that really does take time. You can't rush to get wisdom because you need the knowledge and experience, which takes time.
Right.
A lot of things you can rush. You can get good at witnessing. You can know the scriptures. There's a lot of things that you can do to get good at quickly, but wisdom is something like, kind of like wine when it ferments. You can't rush it. It just has to happen.
Yeah, I think of an example. Would this fit? When I was first learning how to head cover, and I didn't understand why, which doesn't really matter why.
Right.
If the Word of God says to do it. So you do something, and maybe you dress biblical. Maybe you do something in the scriptures, you know, that God tells us women to do, and you don't really fully understand. You're so new, you don't see the other side and the depths and the reasons and the blessings and everything in it,
yeah.
the protections it can. So once you start doing it and you're walking it and you're living it out, you get to look back and see and understand the depths, and that would be the wisdom
yeah.
in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's a good point. What else today, Sister Amen?
I have another simple thing here. I was thinking about, we hear people, not often, but we've heard it before, people tell us that Christ isn't coming back. A lot of people don't even believe in him. They don't believe
yeah.
he's going to return.
Oh, you're talking about like mockers and unbelievers.
Yeah. You know what made me think of it? I don't know why, but I was thinking, probably because we're back down here in Florida, when we were in another town or a city in Florida, we were flying signs outside of a church.
Oh,
and
yeah.
out of nowhere, a guy on a bicycle come riding by.
He wasn't from the church.
No. He rode right by me, and he looked right at me, and he said, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
And he said it really creepy, and he just rode off. And I was like, because we were holding our gospel signs, and I want to read a few scriptures here. 2 Peter 3:3-4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And if we keep reading, we see what's going to happen. 2 Peter 3:5-7. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And I could keep going and going, but I'm going to read one more section that gives us more proof he's going to come back. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Yeah, if we don't believe he's not coming back, we can't trust him. We can't trust God's word.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I think in my Revelation verse-by-verse study, I think I have the verse where it talks about in the book of Acts, when they talked about seeing Jesus ascend up, and they said, in the same like manner he left, he'll return once again. So it's by the clouds.
Yeah, I love thinking about that, because there's a bunch of them we could be thinking about on there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. We're supposed to be looking for his return. It's the only hope for mankind. Mankind's going to destroy himself. It's going to just get worse and worse. And unless Christ comes back and makes all things right and make things all things new, there's no hope for mankind. He's going to destroy himself.
I know, it's awesome. He came one time.
Yep.
He's coming again.
Yep, he promised.
Pretty awesome, yeah.
He came as a baby in a manger once. He's coming back as the fiery lion of Judah with judgment and correction, and he's going to defeat death and hell once and for all.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about this, you know, like mankind will create something. And then they just kind of, they don't, like, use it or interact with it oftentimes, you know, like paintings and all these things. And they just stand there and they boast about it, and they're, like, higher and above it. But God, who created us and us mere human beings, he came and interacted, and he's coming back again.
Yeah.
Not to the good of some.
Right.
But he's, like, interactive with his creation. It's just awesome. He cares. It's wonderful.
Yeah, he stepped into time, and then he's going to step back in at the end of times.
Yeah, he's coming down from heaven to the footstool.
And it really comes down to when man's time is over, when man's rule on earth is over, he's going to take all things back.
Yeah.
And we see it perilously headed in that direction. It's not going in a good direction. It's going in the direction the scripture predicted. And if you look at the nation of Israel surrounded by her enemies, and you look at just the state of the world, and you look at truth falling away, and you look at evil rising, it's exactly what the Bible said it would be. If you do watch the news, which I don't watch hardly any news, sometimes I'll watch a little blurb here and there if it's something biblical I can apply. You actually, if you know the Bible, you should be greatly encouraged, because the Word of God is true. And Satan's the god of this world, and he has control right now. And of course it's going to look dark and sinful and full of death. But Christ promised his return. And so we just have to hold fast. Whoever overcomes, he will come back. He will let us rule with him. In fact, that's part of my verse-by-verse study. I love this part in the verse-by-verse study. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, the beginning and the end.
Beginning and the end,
yeah. So it was in the beginning, and he's going to end it all one day. So
that's comforting to know he always was and always will be.
Yep.
He's not going to fall down like mankind does.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
I was pondering this parable today. I'm going to read it. Luke 20, 9 through 18. And then, this is Jesus talking. Then began he to speak to the people about this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went to a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen and that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant and they beat him and also entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. And then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son, and it may well be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and we'll take his inheritance. So they cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. That parable's interesting. It's a great archetype of the prophets. God was sending another prophet, another prophet, another prophet. They hated him. They murdered the prophets. And then God sends his son, and they kill his son. And that's really an archetype of Jesus. And this part here, I'll keep going. Verse 15. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy the husbandmen, and he shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? This part right here. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the cornerstone. Ephesians 2 tells us that's Christ. And it's just interesting, isn't it, how he's going to come and destroy. Didn't you just read 2 Thessalonians 1? Mm-hmm. Christ is coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. And then I'll finish it up. This terrifying verse, ready? Verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone, that's Christ, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So what that basically means is we have a chance to throw ourselves at Christ, on Christ, and we need to be broken and humbled and submit, and he'll lift us up, he'll heal us, and he'll make us whole again. But if we resist him and this rock comes and falls upon us and it's against our will, it's going to crush us to powder. Revelation says that we're saying, let rocks hide me from the wrath of the Lamb. So we got to make sure we, Ecclesia saints, that we're walking in humbleness before God, and we want to be the opposite of what the world is, arrogant, haughty, pride-filled, pompous, rebellious. We want to be the exact opposite. I also wanted to read this. Isaiah 2, 7 through 12. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Sounds like America, doesn't it? And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humble himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hideth thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. He's talking about, for the day of the Lord of the hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought down low. That's what Christ is talking about. He's the rock. His judgment, his coming is going to grind people to powder who think they don't need him. They don't want him. They're going to survive without him. It's not going to be good, Sister Amen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be good. So I wanted to read that. And again, we true saints need to be ready for the day of the Lord. And we need to do as much as we can to warn people about what's coming. So when it happens, there's no blood on our hands.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's loving our neighbor.
Amen.
And loving God.
Amen. Amen. So we stand on the rock. We don't want to be under it and ground to powder.
Mm, mm-mm.
Anything else today, Sister Amen?
I have a scripture verse.
Awesome. Go for it.
I was thinking about knowledge, and I'm getting some scriptures together for Sister's audio that we do sharing scripture verses.
Nice.
Lord willing, we'll be able to do another one if we get the day. And here's one of them, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Kind of a warning. We don't want to not have knowledge.
Amen. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good one. Speaking of powder, I have a verse to end with. You think we street preachers are hard? How about Moses? The Israelites made a golden calf. What did he do with it? Exodus 32:20. And he took the calf, which he had made, burnt it in the fire, ground it to powder. That's kind of an archetype of what Jesus said. And strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. But that didn't sit too well in your bowels.
Probably not.
Go ponder that. What a harsh lesson they learned for their wicked rebellion against God, their idolatry. And you know what? America and the nations today are not that far from what Israel was doing and what is happening today.
Yeah.
Because idolatry comes in many forms. Pets, children, sports, money, pride, vanity. It's ignoring God and lifting up other things.
Right.
Yeah. So go ponder that. Make sure you're not walking in any type of idolatry and you're walking in spirit and truth before the Lord. Tomorrow we hope to get our take our van in early and get our shocks cut off and the new ones put on. And then, who knows, if we have time, we might fly some signs or something somewhere. I don't know if we'll have time.
We'll
and then I think we're going to be headed, if we have time, down to a new town, getting close to a preach for this weekend. We're going to be preaching at a event this weekend.
Yeah, Lord willing, we get the days.
And so, yeah, we'll move down to the next town. And, yeah, so that's what we are going to be up to if the Lord gives us another day.
Right. Amen. Let's see.
All right. Until then, Godspeed and love to the Ecclesia of God and Sister Amen. I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say the same thing you just did, too. I'm going to say love to you all. Hold fast, look up, and may God be praised.
May God be praised. Love y'all.